Chapter 8, No Excuses. You can always find a reason not to fast. I have a party. I forgot about this lunch meeting. It's my anniversary. I recently went on a walk with my friend Stephanie and was talking to her about fasting. She said, I want to do some more fasting. The main reason is to lose weight. One of the things she was worried about is her schedule. Tomorrow she has a small group and there are always snacks. And she knew people would ask why she wasn't eating them and she would have to tell them she was fasting. The next day she had a dinner plan with someone. The following day a lunch with someone. I told her that yesterday I went out to lunch with three friends and we went to Aldo's, one of my favorite restaurants in Virginia Beach. I didn't eat anything but hot water with lemon. Later that night, I sat with my family while they ate dinner. I've gone to literally hundreds of lunches and dinners where I didn't eat, either because I wasn't physically hungry or because I was fasting. The main thing you have to do is change your mindset. I went in with the mindset that I am not eating and it's not that big of a deal. I'm going to use this time to spend time talking to my friends. I'm still having fun, still enjoying myself. Instead of shoving food in my face, I get to connect and bond with people I enjoy being with. Every once in a while, I'll go to another place that my girlfriends love in Virginia Beach called Stockpot. If I'm fasting, I'll get a bowl of their chicken noodle soup with no chicken and no noodles and just enjoy the broth. There's a Benjamin Franklin quote I love that says, "He that is good at making excuses is seldom good for anything else." The bottom line is you could literally make an excuse to get off fasting anytime. If you're a busy person and you have a lot of friends, you will have a different excuse every single week on why you aren't going to fast, just like my friend Stephanie. She looked at me like a deer in the headlights when I told her that I go to restaurants and don't eat. Recently, I went to New York City to meet a CEO of another real estate company who took me to dinner at Nobu. My husband took me there in Miami, and without alcohol, the meal was like $400. This place is so nice, so delicious, so expensive. It's like Celebrity Central. This would be a perfect example of a time where I could say, I'm going to break my fast just this once since someone has taken me to a really nice dinner at Nobu. But you can make excuses or you can make it happen. There were about six people at dinner and they were ordering tons of food and passing it around family style. After every dish that was passed around, everyone agreed that it was the best thing they had ever tasted. I was on the ninth day of an extended fast and was only drinking stabilizing liquids. I ordered some bone broth and it was the nastiest bone broth I've ever tasted. So I didn't really drink it. I ended up just having hot water with lemon. I really focused on the conversation, had a great time. And it was the craziest thing. Even though the food looked great, God took away my desire to eat it, and it didn't even smell good to me. At the time, I was fasting to ask the Lord to heal my body, my autoimmune issues and thyroid issues. I was also really fasting to take my business to the next level, to bring on high-level leaders and scale our call center to go nationwide. These things are huge and really important for me, much more important to me than a dinner at Nobu. I had made the decision that the breakthroughs I would get from fasting outweighed a nice dinner out. Luke 14, 16-24, New International Version. Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is ready now.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I just bought five yokes of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told the servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" The people who didn't want to attend the banquet all made excuses. People make the same kind of excuses for why they can't fast. Too old, too young, diabetic, etc., etc. Luke 2, 36-38, New International Version. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Anna was an elderly person who fasted regularly. Her fasting and prayer gave her a sensitivity to God that allowed her to perceive who Jesus was when everyone else missed why this child was special. You are not too old to fast. In fact, I believe our elders should set the example for young people on prayer and fasting. I've heard men in particular make the excuse that they work too hard to fast. I don't think that's true. I work out with heavy weight while fasting regularly, and I know men who lift heavier weights than me with more active lifestyles and do it too. I know a lot of wives and mothers who tell me they can't fast because they cook for their families and it's too hard to resist eating. I think that's a good time to send your family out to eat. Seriously, you can still cook and fast. It takes more strength, but you can do it. I do it often. I do it so much that when I did sit down to eat with my family one night, my son said, "Mom, you're eating with us? That's great." Pretty funny. You need to write down all of your excuses and examine them. If it's a medical problem, realize that God is able to heal you. It's not like you have to go to the extreme right away. Talk to your doctor about it. You can start slow and work your way into it. If you're someone who takes medicine that has to be taken with food, then have something like a cracker. Be like Nike. Stop making excuses. Just do it. One of my favorite preachers is Carl Lentz, and I typically agree with everything he says. He has a really great ministry in New York City, but recently he went on The View and made a statement that he got a lot of bad feedback on. The ladies on The View asked him if he thought abortion was sinful, and he responded that people have to live with their own convictions and that he did not classify the issue as an open and shut case. He later clarified after the interview and came out and said that he did believe abortion is a sin, but I was really disappointed, like many other Christians, that he did not take the opportunity to make a stand for the truth. There are so many people out there who are saying that you need to live by your own convictions, but just like this pastor, people say, "You do you, boo," or "You live your truth." But what if your truth is actually a lie? We have to align our truth with God's truth and what He says to us in His Word. On day 13 of a 14-day fast, I was feeling hungry. The final leg can be really hard. I decided to read the story of Jesus fasting in all three different Gospels and see if I could learn anything different and new. The story is told three times in the books of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. One of the things that I noticed is that Jesus was fasting before He went to the cross. Oftentimes, Jesus will call you to fast in preparation for a trial that is right around the corner. I never noticed this about the scripture before. Matthew 4:2, New International Version, made me laugh. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, He was hungry. I want to go ahead and nominate this as the most obvious verse in the Bible. If you don't eat for 40 days, of course you will be hungry. Anyways, another thing I noticed when I was rereading the story of Jesus being tempted is that Jesus was tempted three times while He was fasting. And I noticed that this happens to me. I feel like my temptation comes in threes when I am fasting. Jesus responded to temptation by quoting three verses, and I believe that we should do the same thing. Memorize scriptures to combat this temptation. But the biggest thing that stood out to me as I kept reading Matthew 4, 1-25, New International Version, is that we always think that the devil only comes to us and tempts us with lies. But He's smarter than that. He knew that if we love God, we might recognize a lie really easily and refuse to fall for it. So what He does sometimes is tempt you with the truth. In this passage of Matthew 4, 1-25, New International Version, Jesus is hungry. He had been fasting for 40 days, and what does the devil do? The devil goes in, and what he did was attack with the Bible. He attacked him with the truth. He quoted scripture to him and twisted that to use it against him. We have to outsmart Satan and learn to recognize these truths. It's crazy because a few days prior, I was really struggling with hunger, so I decided to open the Bible, and what do I read? Ecclesiastes 9:7, New International Version. "Go, eat your food with gladness and drink your wine with a joyful heart, for God has already approved what you do." Was God telling me to eat? No, He called me to fast, but Satan was trying to tempt me with these truths out of context. Another one was Genesis 1:29, New International Version. "Then God said, 'I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food.'" Genesis 9:3, New International Version. "Everything that lives and moves about will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything." Here I am on this extended fast, and I know that He called me to it. So a way the devil could tempt me would be by saying, "You need to eat food. Your body needs the nutrients." Yes, this is true. Food does contain nutrients, and we do need to fuel our bodies. That's not a lie. Did God create all these plants and fruits for me to eat? Yes, these are not lies. But I know that God called me to this fast, and He and His truth will sustain me. I wasn't going to allow Satan to twist these verses to justify the temptation to break the fast that God called me to. If you are grounded in God's truth, the devil may be successful in getting you to commit a big sin like cheating on your husband or stealing from your company. So he will begin to do whatever he can to get you to believe a little lie, sprinkled with a little truth, and to get a stronghold by messing with your mindset. I have a really great godly friend that I really admire. She is grounded in the word, and Satan has been unsuccessful in getting her to commit these big sins. So he tries to tempt her with little truths and lies to make her less effective for the kingdom. One area that she really struggles with is making excuses. The other day, she was telling me that she wanted to get her real estate license, but the problem is that she has been saying this for a really long time. I have people at my company who got their license in as little as 2 weeks, so I know that it can be done. She feels like she is called to become a real estate agent, and the devil is planting little lies of excuses in her mind as to why she's too busy to do it, and it's always something. I am a tell it like it is friend, in case you can't tell. So when she was talking about this with me the other day, I told her she needed to stop making excuses and be like Nike, just do it. She's overwhelmed at the idea of getting her license, which I get that. So I told her that what she needs to do is create a plan of attack. Set a timeline for herself. Create accountability by finding people to hold her to that timeline. And to create really specific action steps of how she's going to get there. Satan wants her to live a defeated life, but I refuse to let a friend of mine fall for these excuses that are keeping her from what God has in store. I told her that for the next 30 days, she has to really focus on her goals and getting her self-esteem back up by saying, I'm going to win, no matter what, and anytime Satan throws an excuse in my face, I will respond, not today, Satan. My friend was setting her goals too high and really needed to break them down into tiny bites to build her confidence up by achieving her goals. I love tennis, and I knew a girl that was playing with people just a little above her skill level. She was playing at a level 4 and was losing every single match and felt so defeated, so she moved herself down to a 3.5 just for a little while so she could remember what winning feels like. She needed to build up her confidence by winning again and say, I'm going to win no matter what. Maybe for you, starting a 21-day fast sounds like a huge, impossible goal. Start with shorter 24-hour fasts to build up your confidence and celebrate some wins. The only way to outsmart the devil is by asking God to reveal the lies and the truths that he is tempting you with for what they are. Say it with me. I am going to win, no matter what, no more excuses.